We're continuing our study of the book of Daniel. We are ready for chapter 7. Daniel's dreams and visions begin with chapter 7. God has preserved at least some of the visions, if not all, of the visions he showed to Daniel. And the writer tells us of his visions so we can see what he saw. And then through that vision, a divine lesson begins to take shape. What we must do when we study something like this is look for what God tells us. Look for God to tell us exactly what he wants us to know. And we do that as we read and we try to see what Daniel saw and what he heard in his dreams and visions. And remember, I think I mentioned it 2 weeks ago, but there's no need to assign meaning to every part of a vision or a dream. There's just this need to look for what God is revealing and see what Daniel saw. There's one overshadowing lesson. Jehovah God is in control. That really is the message of the entire book of Daniel. And God shows Daniel things that are to come. Things that are about to come about. Things that God will bring. He'll bring them about in his time. It's not that they're near to occurring, but God's showing Daniel the future. And what we see is that God can and will accomplish his purpose. He will establish his kingdom despite any opposition. As a reminder, there are four sections. Daniel 7, we have judgment of the fourth beast. We have the ordaining of the Son of Man. The ordination, if you will. Daniel 8 has the male goat, trouble that is to come for God's people. Daniel 9 is Daniel's prayer of repentance, his petition that God return them to the land and God's answer concerning Jerusalem. And then 10 through 12, God shows Daniel the trials and the tribulations that are to come in the years of his silence, what we call the years of silence. The challenge for each one of us is to look for what God is revealing. We don't need to spend a lot of time trying to understand things like the time and times and half a time, 725, or the little horn, or Michael, your prince. God will help us see what he wants us to see. We need to just read, see what Daniel saw, listen to how God explains the meaning, and glean from it as best we can what God wants us to know. And sometimes, especially like in this chapter 7, we can turn to other passages of Scripture. We can turn to history. We can establish a historical context that will also help us learn. So Daniel 7 begins in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. Now, in chapter 6, Belshazzar has come to his end. So we are backing up. These things happened before Daniel in the lion's den, for example, before the writing on the wall. Daniel had a dream, we're told. Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. Remember, we're trying to see this in our mind. It's a dream. It's a vision Daniel's having in his head. And then he wrote down the dream. I saw in my vision by night, behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second, like a bear. It was raised up on one side and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and they said thus to it, "Arise, devour much flesh." After this I looked, and there was another, like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. Daniel tells us of 3 beasts in quick succession. The 4 winds of the earth, blowing from every direction, it would seem, blowing up the great sea. And then out of this sea, what Daniel sees coming up from the sea, 4 beasts. One's like a lion, eagle's wings. One looks like a bear to him. It was raised up on one side, had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and then there was one like a leopard. It had 4 wings on its back, wings like a bird's wings, and 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, trampling the residue with its feet. Now, get that picture. Here is this dreadful, terrible, exceedingly strong beast. It had iron teeth, huge iron teeth. And it was devouring things and breaking things in pieces. And then the residue that was falling from his devouring and breaking of pieces, that residue was being trampled with his feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. And Daniel says, "I was considering the horns, and there was another horn. A little one coming up from among them, before whom 3 of the 1st horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth, speaking pompous words." So this 4th beast is quickly, we see very quickly, this is the focus. The 4th one is the one that's really caught his attention. Powerful and strong and dreadful and terrible and iron teeth and devouring, breaking things in pieces, trampling the residue that falls from its mouth, as it were, has 10 horns. And this is what catches his attention, 10 horns. And then while he's considering the horns, there's another one, a little one that comes up among them, and 3 of the 1st horns were plucked out by the roots right before this little horn. And there in this horn, eyes like a man, mouth speaking pompous words. The little horn is on this 4th beast's head, and it speaks boastfully, as it were, pompously, as if it's saying things that are great and meaningful. And the vision is reaching its high point now. And we can imagine Daniel's awe. He continues to describe what he saw, what he was seeing. And it becomes more and more poetic in his descriptions. All of this led by inspiration. He speaks of the one who was before time began, the Ancient of Days, now sits on a throne. I watched till thrones were put in place. And the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire, A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. A thousand thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. Daniel is being given a throne scene vision of the Ancient of Days. It's God. And it's a powerful scene of judgment. White as snow was his hair, garments white as snow, fiery flame, fiery wheels, fire streaming forth in front of him, and a myriad host of thousands ministering to him. 10,000 times 10,000 standing before him. And they're seated. And what happens? The books were opened. Daniel says, I watched them because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. You almost forget about this fourth beast with the 10 horns and the little horn. But this is in the vision still, and he's still boastfully speaking, pompously speaking. And so he's watching because the sound of this fourth beast, I watched till the beast was slain, its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Remember, the little horn is on the fourth beast's head, so it's that fourth beast. He's seeing pompous words, and it's that fourth beast that is slain. His body's destroyed. This dreadful, powerful beast is destroyed, slain, destroyed, given to this fire, it seems, that's issuing forth from the throne. He's just burned up. And the rest of the beasts, their dominion's taken away from them. And yet they're allowed to continue for a season and a time, some period of time, even though they've lost dominion. They're continuing to live. They're not destroyed like this fourth one. And so he says, I was watching in the night visions. That's a dream. And behold, one like the Son of Man. Here's in this dream, it's been beasts and Ancient of Days, and now there's one that looks human, looks like the Son of a Man. He's coming with the clouds of heaven, and he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Now that's a fascinating vision. This great sea, winds from every direction, the sea is in turmoil, and then there's these four beasts that come up out of the water, and they look like various animals, these first three, unique with wings, and the second one is devouring and pulverizing things, and then he's just trampling on. So these beasts all appear powerful, and they're coming up out of the water, but it's the fourth one that catches attention, because he has 10 horns and teeth like iron, and he's fierce. And then there's this little horn. It just really attracts Daniel's attention. And And then he's destroyed. And his body's burned up. And it's as if judgment's been passed here by the one on the throne. And he's burned up in that fire that issues forth. And now there's one that looks like a human. And he's coming in the clouds. And he's given dominion. Dominion's been taken from these other three beasts. The fourth beast destroyed. And this one's given dominion and glory and a kingdom. And all people and all nations and all language, they all serve him. And his dominion's everlasting and never passes away. His kingdom's never destroyed. Now, consider Daniel's time and place, because we read this and many images of Scripture fill our head. Much of the history that we know that will follow this, because we have the benefit of hindsight, it fills our minds, but it doesn't fill Daniel's, because he's never lived through that history. There's no record of that history. It hasn't occurred yet. We have backed up in this. This dream comes before Belshazzar. This dream comes earlier. He's living before this history's all unfolded, before God has revealed the mystery of his plan to mankind. And so he will speak of how troubled he felt, how this troubled his mind as these things were shown to him. So let's look carefully at the inspired interpretation, because we have one. Daniel says, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body. And the visions of my head troubled me. I came near to one of those who stood by. Now, this first we've heard of one who stood by must be in this myriad before the Ancient of Days. I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all of this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Those great beasts, which are four, are four kings which arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So here we have it. Those beasts represent kings, four kings that will rise up out of the earth. But it's the saints of the Most High that receive the kingdom. They possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast. That's the one that's really caught Daniel's attention, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron, its nails of bronze. Now, we didn't know that earlier. Which devoured, broke in pieces, trampled the residue with its feet, and the ten horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, before which three fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth, which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. I want to know about that fourth beast. This is so fascinating, because this is a dream. This is a vision that's given to Daniel in such a realistic way that he sees it and he participates in it and he thinks about what he's seeing and he converses with one in the vision who explains to him what he's seeing. And he asks for further explanation. And he says, I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came. Now, we didn't know that earlier. That trampling and everything, that was the saints. That devouring and trampling, that was the saints. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Thus, he said. So we're back to the one standing by, the spiritual being, it would seem, the fourth beast, now we're told by him, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. So now we see that this trampling was not only the saints, it was the whole earth. This fourth kingdom is different, powerful, devouring, trampling, breaking in pieces. The ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole earth shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. This is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me, and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. The idea of my countenance changed, it's like he lost all the color. Turned pale. We might say white as a sheet. It just overwhelmed him. It troubled him. He just went pale. Like we would say, like he'd seen a ghost. He'd seen quite more than that. And it's no wonder his thoughts troubled him. What he has seen is an awesome vision shown to him by God of God's throne and the Son of Man and various unusual beasts. And none of this has yet occurred fully, so he has no means of interpretation except God reveal it to him. Peter's writing so many years later comes to mind. When you think about Daniel's mind, trouble, trying to understand, asking about what this all means, it's hard not to think of what Peter said. Peter said in 1 Peter 10, beginning of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Peter talks about the prophets and how they inquired about the salvation God was bringing. They searched. They carefully searched. They prophesied of the grace of God. They prophesied of the grace that would come to these Christians to whom Peter writes. They searched for what or what manner of time. When would this happen? How would this come about? They searched what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating. What was the Spirit of Christ showing them when he testified so long beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow? That's really exactly what we're seeing here with Daniel. He's seen this awesome vision. His thoughts trouble him. We have the benefit of hindsight, which is a great blessing. We know the succession of empires. We have the benefit of God having already revealed the mystery of his unfolding scheme of redemption. We can understand what Daniel's being shown and should be even more thankful then for the biblical record that we have today. the inspired speaker, the one who's standing by that Daniel speaks to in verse 23. From verse 23 on, he tells us enough that we can see and learn from his interpretation. The four beasts, four kingdoms. These kingdoms will rise and fall one after the other. And then the saints of God, the servants of the Most High, they will receive a kingdom that will never be taken away as this one is given all authority. And Daniel asks specifically about the fourth beast with the ten horns and its one little horn. He saw it waging war with God's people before he's judged by the Ancient of Days. What a mysterious thing that was. And the answer was that the fourth beast represented a fourth kingdom, and the little horn was a king who spoke boastfully against the Most High. And continues just his boasting, it seems, until God executes judgment. And that's what we see. God had predetermined his judgment. God foresees his future, foresees his boastful manner, foresees all of this. He knows it before it happens. And the vision foretells both the fourth beast's pompous opposition and how his power is taken away and his body is destroyed after they slay him. And it burned up in the fire issuing apparently from the throne. And what Daniel has shown is that all power and the greatness of the kingdom all throughout the world would be given to the saints of the Most High, the one who served the Most High God, not the emperor as it was, not this fourth beast or this king that's represented by, not that one, the one that serves the saints. They're given the greatness, the power of the kingdom all through the world, all people, all languages. And this is the point, the conclusion, the lesson of the vision. And we must not lose sight of it, even as we assign some historical context to it all. The lesson is that the ones who serve the Most High God, the saints of the Most High, they are the ones that receive the kingdom, a kingdom that's never destroyed, a kingdom that is glorious and powerful. These earthly beasts, kings, with all their pomp and circumstance and all their boastful behavior, they lose. Their dominion's taken away. This fourth one's completely destroyed. So we think about the historical context of all of this. God shows Daniel a vision of his throne of judgment, of his rule from heaven over the affairs of men. That's what God is showing Daniel, is that from heaven, from his heavenly throne, he foresees and rules in the affairs of men. And those who serve him will receive the kingdom. And what's really just fascinating is we see distinct differences between this scene and the one John saw in Revelation 22, where God shows him the New Jerusalem. And I want you to notice one obvious difference. The throne of judgment, Daniel, versus the throne of salvation, what John is seeing. Daniel 7, 9, and 10, his throne, the Ancient of Days, his throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were open. This is a scene of judgment and fire, and the fire will consume those who are judged. It is God in all his glory with thousands of ministers, and the books are open and he passes judgment. Now compare that to the throne of salvation that John is shown. Revelation 22, 1 and 2, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. This is a scene of salvation. It's not fire issuing forth from the throne. It's the pure river of water of life. And it's clear as crystal. And it proceeds from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And there's a life-giving tree in the middle of the street. On either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves were for the healing of the nations. This is salvation. This is God's people. It is such a stark contrast, and it helps us understand something else. It helps us understand when God gives us these images, these visions, these pictures that we can read and see what they saw and try to understand it, that it is the same God, it's the same throne, but God will act in judgment and God will act in salvation. And so the picture we're given is of the context. And that helps us, I think, to understand imagery. God's communicating both with what's said and what's seen. The throne Daniel sees is a fearsome throne. The Ancient of Days, one who is older than time, is attired in snow white and has hair as pure wool. His throne is blazing with flames. Its wheels are burning fire. A river of fire flows from before him. God has come to judge the nations with special emphasis on the judgment set for the fourth empire, who is judged as God establishes his own kingdom. The four beasts of Daniel's vision, they correspond with Nebuchadnezzar's vision of an image with four parts. We get two of them mentioned, iron and bronze, but when you think about it, the four beasts of Daniel's that Daniel sees, it's very much like Nebuchadnezzar's vision. The legs in Daniel 2 were of iron, as are the teeth of the fourth beast in Daniel 7. So you get these connections, but they're really something you have to kind of look for. The kingdoms of men are judged in both. The God of heaven sets up a kingdom that will never be destroyed in both visions, and we see that message, that the message of both visions is exactly the same. What Nebuchadnezzar was shown, what Daniel is shown, Jehovah God is in control, and he rules in the affairs of men. And he is unfolding a plan for his people that no human being can thwart. And the kingdom of heaven will never be put to ruin. It emphasizes that God will complete what he has planned to do, and nothing men can do can stop him. It is fascinating to think about because it gives us a picture of God who sees the future without making it occur, and yet knows what's going to happen, and he will bring about his plan in his time. he's going to give power to these kingdoms. And he sees how they'll use the power. He tries to show Nebuchadnezzar. And we see men like Nebuchadnezzar. We see men like Darius getting a picture of God Almighty, the living God. They talk about the God, Daniel's God, the living God. So God shows himself, reveals himself through his power, through his works, through visions, through saving his his servants at times like the execution. You know, they're going to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into fire. They're going to throw Daniel into lions, and he lets Daniel interpret dreams. And so God is revealing himself. He's giving men a chance to see him and appreciate him and follow him, but he knows men will not do that. Most will not do that. But the one clear picture here is Jehovah God's in control, and he rules in the affairs of men. It's in every chapter of Daniel. God bless you and keep you. Appreciate you listening to our posts on our website. We'd love to have you join with us and study with us here at the church building. And we have Wednesday night classes at 7. We have Bible class on Sunday mornings at 9:30. We have a short sermon at 9. We have another period of worship at 10:30. Classes for all ages at 9:30. And we would love to meet you. We'd love to have you come and join with us. And we'd love to study with you. If you'd like to study with us, please make contact with us. And